All right, we're going to do microscopy today. And it's not an easy thing to do. Seems like it's easy just to look through a microscope, but it's actually pretty hard to do well, to prepare a slide well and to properly use the microscope. And it's you probably won't get good at it today. But I want to describe how to properly use the scope, so that you at least have a good chance of getting good results. First, though, what did I say in lecture are the two major classes of scopes? What kind of microscopes are there in the world? Light microscope and what else? An electron microscope. Obviously, this is not an electron microscope. This is a light microscope because it uses humanly visible light that passes through the specimen in order for it to be magnified so that we can see it. More specifically, this is a slide microscope because the dissecting microscopes that you should play with later are also light microscopes. But a slide microscope magnifies a lot more. It's made for looking at smaller things on a slide, on a glass slide. And you can be even more specific and say that this is not only a slide microscope, but a compound microscope. And what is it that makes it a compound scope? Anyone know? Well, it does have different magnifications, but that's actually not what makes it a compound scope. Depending on what you mean. If you're talking about all the silver lenses, that's not what makes it compound. A compound scope is one that magnifies twice because light goes through two different types of lenses, one after another, before it enters your eye. Therefore, there are two different types of lenses on a compound scope. It's possible to just have one of each type. This one has multiple of each type. But a compound scope has to have at least one objective lens and at least one ocular lens. Now, which one's which? Which ones are the ocular lenses? Right, they're the ones that you put your eyes up to, and that's because ocular means of the eye. The objective lenses, which are the silver-barreled ones that you can swivel, those are called objective lenses because they are close to the object that you're looking at. Those are close to the slide, in other words. So they're the objective lenses. And so light passes through the objective lens first. That magnifies it. But then before it reaches your eyes, it gets magnified by passing through the ocular lens. And therefore the total magnification is the product of the two individual magnifications. So whatever the objective lens is marked with, like a 40x for instance, that magnifies it 40 times, and then you multiply that by whatever the power of the ocular is. On this model, the ocular lenses are 10x. All right, now The main power is the switch on the right. If you haven't turned it on already, go ahead and do it. But then right by the power switch is a knob. That's the dimmer. And that's the main way that you control the light intensity. I should say that you control the light intensity. So there's a lamp down in the base whose brightness is controlled by this dimmer. The light shines up through a third type of lens, but it's not a magnifying lens. That's called the condenser. The condenser basically just redirects those photons, the light, as much as possible to where you really want it, which is up through the hole in this platform where it'll meet the slide. Now, what is that platform called? The base is the bottom, where the lamp is. Where you set the slide, though, this platform right here is called the stage. and stage obviously has a hole in it. That's where the light passes through. And then sitting on the stage, well, actually, before I get to that, right below the stage, hanging down from the stage, this piece right here is an adjustable opening, which you can call the aperture or the iris or the diaphragm. Different people call it different things, but it's all the same thing. It's just like the aperture on a camera that you can set the f-stop with, right? F22, for instance, that's a stopped down small aperture. It doesn't allow nearly as much light through as a wide open like an F1.8 on a camera. Well, you can do the same thing here by twisting this. So that's a second way that you can adjust how much light is going through your sample. The dimmer, but also the aperture. The aperture, though, affects more than just the light intensity. As you'll see, play around with both, though. The common error when you're first starting with microscopes is to think that the more light is better. If that were true, they would just have it full power all the time. They wouldn't give you the option to dim it. But too much light is bad. It'll just wash the image out and you won't see nearly as much. So turn it down to where you get the best view, and you might have to turn it back up when you go to higher magnification, because higher magnification lenses don't allow as much light to pass through them. So you might need a little more then. Play around with the dimmer, though, and play around with the aperture. Now, sitting on top of the stage is this silver clamp that you open this way. And that's where you put a slide every time, regardless of where that's positioned. So you don't care about whether the slide is positioned over the hole yet. You always put it in the clamp exactly the same way each time. Then once it's clamped into place, you can move that whole clamp by the two knobs that hang down to the right. Notice that there's a slightly bigger one, and when you twist it, it moves the thing forward and backward. The other one moves it right and left. So it's kind of like the two knobs of an Etch-a-Sketch. All this whole apparatus, the clamp and the knobs and the movable device, is called the mechanical stage. The mechanical stage is how you actually move the slide once it's clamped into place. You move it so that you can look at different parts of the slide. All right, then working upward, we have the objective lenses. And this model of scope has four different objective lenses, only three of which you'll use. The one with two stripes, black and white, don't even bother trying to use that one because you won't get good results unless you have immersion oil, which we're not going to use. So we'll use the red, the yellow, and the blue striped ones. And notice that they're different lengths. The longer a lens is, the higher the magnification. They are all mounted on a swivel, and we call that the nose piece. So you choose magnification by swiveling the nose piece. On this model, the lowest powered objective is 4x, that's the red striper. But on any given model of microscope that gives you a choice of objectives, the lowest powered objective is called the scanning lens. And it's called the scanning lens because at the lowest power, you have the largest field of view. Whenever you look through a microscope, you see a circular field of view, as it's called. Well, at low power, that field of view is actually bigger. It's like being zoomed out. Right? If you zoom out, you see more of the scene. And that's the lens that you always start with. Not only because it's by far the easiest to focus, so you need to start focusing with the scanning lens, but also for the reason that it's named the scanning lens. It gives you the biggest field of view, and therefore you can find what is the interesting part of that slide that you want to move the mechanical stage to get to the center of the slide, and then take a closer look after it's focused by going to the next objective. All right? Light then bounces up through a prism and mirror and then through the ocular lenses and into your eyes. Now, to focus a slide or something that's on a slide, you have to have it the correct distance from the lens. And by the way, the distance between the slide, the surface of the slide, and the bottom of the lens, that length is called the working distance. And the working distance gets smaller and smaller the higher the magnification of the objective you choose. And that's because they're longer at higher magnifications. But for any given lens, to focus the specimen means that you have to have you have to move the lens either up or down, toward or away from the lens, until it's at the right distance to be in focus for your eyes. And you do that by moving the stage up and down, because the slide is on the stage, but that's done with the focus knobs. And there's four focus knobs. They're duplicates of each other. The two big knobs on either side, and there's a smaller one with it. So you can do it either with right or left hand. But notice that the large knob, the large diameter knob, drastically moves the stage. You can easily see it moving up and down. Whereas the small knob does move it, just not nearly as much per turn. So the large diameter knob is called the coarse focus knob, because you use it when it's totally out of focus. You use it so that you can quickly get to the point where it's starting to get in focus. Then you use the fine focus to make as good an adjustment as you can to get it in good focus for your eyes. Now, the proper way to do this is to always start, first of all, with the stage all the way down. So you use the coarse focus knob to bring it all the way down, and that's for a couple reasons. One simple reason is that it simply gives you more room to work with to load the slide without banging into any objective lenses, which are expensive. But there's another practical reason why you want to start with the stage all the way down, and that's because, like I said, for it to be in focus, it needs to be at the right height. Well, if you just put a slide onto a stage that is not all the way to the bottom, it's just at some random position, chances are it's not going to be in focus. But you don't know whether it's going to be out of focus because it's too high or too low. If this is the focus point, it could be below that or above that. If it's above it and you think that it's below it, you're going to keep bringing it up, and that's going to make it even worse. It's never going to come into focus. So if you start all the way at the bottom, you know that it's out of focus for the reason of being too low, and therefore, if you keep bringing it up, eventually it should pop into focus. So always start with it at the bottom, and always start with the scanning lens, which I said is much easier to focus. So it's on the red, you have a slide in there with the stage all the way down, the light is on, medium brightness, and now it's time to look through it. But first you have to do some adjusting on the ocular lenses. And this is something a lot of people don't do, and that's why so many students say, I can't get this to work with both of my eyes. It's just because they're not doing it right. Most people don't bother to make an adjustment to the interpupillary distance, which is what you can do by adjusting the distance between the two ocular lenses. The interpupillary distance is just the distance between a person's two pupils, which is not the same distance for every individual. And therefore, it needs to be adjusted on a scope if you're going to get good results. Otherwise, you'll see double vision. You want to get them to the right distance for your own eyes so that when you look through them with both eyes, you'll see just one image. The reason that you use two eyes is because that gives you stereoscopic vision, which gives you more of depth perception. You don't get that with just one eye. All right, so set that. But also notice that the left ocular can be swiveled, and when you do swivel it, the barrel of the lens goes in and out. That is a separate type of focus just for this ocular. The other one doesn't do that. The right one is just solid. But that's not how you focus on the slide. All right? Why would just one ocular have its own focus? Well, that's the interpupillary distance that accomplishes that. But why would you have a separate focus for the for one of the oculars? Because just like the interpupillary distance is different from human to human, the ability to focus is not exactly the same in the two eyes for many people, right? When you go to an optometrist, you don't say, check my right eye, and whatever that says I need for that, whatever lens it indicates, just give me two of those, and I'll use it the same thing for the left. Might not be the case, right? Your eyes might have different focusing abilities. So that's another way to personalize it for your own eyes. But here's how you do it. Okay, so everything's in place, stage down, scanning lens in place, slide in there, roughly centered by using the mechanical stage. The light's on. Close your left eye and look with just your right eye through just the right ocular, the one that does not adjust. Then use the, while you're looking, use the coarse focus till something pops into rough focus. Then get it as good as you can with the fine focus for just that right eye. Once it's as good as you can get it, then switch eyes. Close your right eye. Open your left eye and look through just the left lens. And if it's still in focus, for that, keep your hands off of the focus knobs at that point. If it's still in focus for your left eye, then you're all set. But probably it won't be, because it depends on where this left one has been swiveled to. So if it's not still in focus, don't adjust the focus knobs. Instead, swivel the left ocular until it's perfect for the left eye. Now when you open both eyes, it should be simultaneously in focus for both. Okay? That's the correct way. Then, now that it's in as good a focus as you can get for that scope, I mean for that lens, since you're on the scanning lens, you can move the mechanical stage to look at different parts of the slide. Find some interesting part of it, put it as close to the center as you can, the interesting thing, because when you go up in magnification, that field of view is going to get smaller because you're zooming in. It's going to look the same to you, but it's going to represent a smaller diameter field of view. Right? If this thing is the entire slide, the field of view for the scanning lens would allow you to see that much. When you go up to the next objective, that field of view is going to be only this much, which is why everything in there looks bigger to you. Right? So as the objective lens magnification goes up, the diameter of the field of view gets smaller, even though it looks like the same circle to you. But everything in it looks bigger and bigger. So Two things change when you go up an objective: the field of view diameter and the working distance. They both decrease when you increase magnification. But a third thing changes as well, one that I haven't mentioned, which is the field. I mean, which is the depth of focus, or depth of field, as it's called also. The depth of focus is the distance of, well, I mean, let me explain it in camera terms first. when you adjust the aperture of a camera, you don't do that just to adjust the amount of light, because you can also do that with shutter speed, right? The longer the shutter is open, the more light that comes in. You adjust the aperture of a camera to adjust the depth of field. If you have a small aperture, that doesn't let as much light in, but it gives you a much deeper depth of field. So that would mean that if you were doing a portrait, for instance, you might not want everything in the picture to be in focus. You want just the person to be in focus. So you would open it up. You'd open up the aperture, so you'd have a narrow field of view. You'd focus on the person's eyes, and that person would be in perfect focus, but the foreground and the background would be blurred, which you'd want to do artistically. In other words, the field of view the depth of field is the distance between the closest thing and the farthest thing that look in focus. When you stop down, which means to close down the aperture, that distance increases, that depth of field gets bigger. So if you were doing a landscape or something in which you wanted everything to be in focus, then you'd stop down. Okay? Well, the same thing happens on a microscope, except the depth of focus is vertical now, because that's the objective lens. This is the slide. So this is the top of the slide, right? So this is the working distance right here. The depth of field or depth of focus on a microscope is a tiny distance. But whatever that distance is, anything in between those two extents will look in focus to you. Well, that depth of focus depends on what power of objective you're using. And the scanning lens has the biggest depth of focus. The higher magnifications have smaller and smaller. And that is the point, to demonstrate that to you, we have a prepared slide back here of some strings, threads. There are three threads. All of these from this one tray are the same. But when you look at this one, even just with your naked eyes, you can see a red, a yellow, and a blue thread in here. Each different colored thread, though, is placed a different depth within the slide. So if you looked at it on edge, like I have it drawn up here, you would have one thread at this depth, one at this depth, and one at that depth. With the scanning lens, with the 4X, the red ring one that you should start with, you can focus all three of them at once. They'll look all in focus to your eyes. And that's because the depth of focus is pretty big for the small objective. But when you go to higher powers, that depth of focus is so small that only one color is going to be able to be in focus at once. And if you want to look at the other color, you're going to have to move the fine focus knob. The yellow will go out of focus and the red will come into focus, for instance. So that shows you how tiny the depth of focus is. And when you're looking at slides of biological slides that have cells in them, it's very hard to cut something so thin that it's just one cell thick, right? So usually you'll have, if you cut it from something like a multicellular organism, like a plant for instance, you're looking at a leaf, you don't have just one cell thickness, you have many cell thicknesses. So it's possible to have a cell in focus at high magnification and change the focus, that top cell will go out of focus and you'll be looking at the cell below it. Actually, that will pop into focus. That's because of that very narrow depth of focus. All right, so we have various things to look at today with the slide scope. And when you're, just go through your white pages. I just described the threads. You also have, this middle one has a flea, which is a pretty cool thing to look at up close if you never have. By the way, when you put these back, put them in the correct tray. Don't just randomly throw them. And there's one on the left has the letter E, lowercase letter E. The reason that is important is because it demonstrates to you what happens to the image. Whatever you're looking at, the image that you see is flipped right to left and top to bottom. So the E is big enough for you to see with your naked eye. Pay attention to the orientation when you put it down onto the mechanical stage, but then notice what it looks like to your eyes. It'll be flipped both ways. And that means when you move something, when you move the slide to the left, when you see, without looking through the scope, that the slide is moving to the left, while you look through the scope, it looks like it's moving to the right. For that same reason, everything's switched. Now, the ones that are in the trays are called prepared slides. Those are permanent, in a sense. So don't throw those away. Just put them back in the right tray. But you're also going to be making some wet mounts, as they're called. And you do that with a blank slide. So there are blank slides over here, just pieces of glass. And there are cover slips, which are also pieces of glass. But be really careful with these, because they're sharp as hell. Because they're so thin, they will really slice you if you're not careful. So don't have these over the surface. Don't let them fall on the ground. Don't pay attention to, you know, use just one. When you're done with it, throw the whole slide and the cover slip in the glass disposal, not in the regular trash. But anyway, to make a wet mount, we have various beakers of pond water from the pond out here. Try to stir it up just a little bit before you suck some water out. But anyway, for a wet mount, you have a blank slide. You just put one drop of your water on, right in the middle. And then you need to put a cover slip over that. But if you put it down flat, you're going to get air bubbles on it, which you're going to think is something to look at. But they're interesting to see, but it's not anything living. So to get the air bubbles out, what you really want to do, if this is the... I need something like the manual. If I say that this is the cover slip, and my drop of water is right here, put your cover slip down on edge right next to it, and then just let it fall. That will push the air out to one side, and you won't get any bubbles. All right, so that's all there is to making a wet mount, but just dispose of those properly. And then besides the pond water, you can also take a look at these things that are in jars. It's really up to you what you look at today, but if you use these jars, notice that there's a different dropper for each jar. Don't contaminate the different kinds of jars. And then once you've looked at slides and did all the stuff that's in the white pages, you can also play around with the dissecting scopes, which is really cool to look at things like your fingers up close, or money. Like if you look at a penny, for instance, you know, the back of a penny has the Lincoln Memorial on it, but you might not have ever noticed that in the Lincoln Memorial there's actually a little Lincoln sitting in his chair, which you can get a closer view of with the dissecting scope. All right, that's it. I'll let you explore.